to the book of Job, Job chapter 14, if you would. I mentioned to you we got the letter from Brother Jones. They finally got them a building, and they did some work on it, and they've been able, and in that letter he tells they're finally able to move into it. And he was rejoicing over that. I think maybe the first Sunday in, they had like 138. And maybe that's the most they've had up to this time. So he was rejoicing over that. And you can read about it out there. His letters put in one of those slots. So just look it up. But, yep, he was pretty excited about having that building and being able to get in it. And as you can imagine, right? It's always a real step up when you can get your own building. It really is. Makes a huge difference. So, all right, you're there at Job chapter 14, right? Job chapter 14. I want you to read with me. Just look at one verse. Job 14, the very first verse. The Bible said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Full of trouble. Hey, there's no doubt in this world that this verse describes the life of every person on the earth. Everybody, when you're born, there's trouble. Trouble is part of life. I mean, it's going to happen. Trouble's going to come. Oftentimes that trouble can bring great suffering to you. And sometimes the trouble brings suffering to others around us because it not only affects us, it affects other people around us. So trouble, distressing thing, a difficult thing. And you say, well, what kind of trouble? Well, pick one. It doesn't matter too much what the trouble is. Maybe it's financial trouble. Maybe it's physical trouble, physical suffering or pain. Might be family trouble. It could be political trouble. It seems like all around the world there's political trouble, all right? Spiritual trouble. And it just goes on and on. There's all kinds of trouble. Now, I don't know that I'm going to ever experience political trouble because I'm not big into politics, but I get trouble because of the politics that goes on, and you do too, you know? You say, so what can we do about trouble? I mean, what is there we can do? Where does it come from? Can it be avoided? Well, we need wisdom about trouble. That's what I want to speak to you about tonight, is get wisdom about trouble and suffering that often comes with it. And thank goodness God gives us wisdom. God gives us wisdom. Maybe, you know, you debate, where do you start? Well, I think a good place to start, but what causes trouble? What causes it? Take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 15, all right? When you start talking about trouble, now I'm going to be honest with you, we're going to talk about some causes. We're not going to try to cover every trouble or every cause of all trouble. We're not going to do that. I guess we could lump it in there and say sin. And that's where most trouble comes from. Trouble comes from sin, all right? And that's why we have it. But we want to get a little more specific than that. Sometimes preachers are accused of not really preaching pointed. We just preach general. But then when you preach pointed, people get mad. But we just take that risk tonight, all right? Just a little bit about it. So look, if you will, there in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 16. The Bible says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Trouble therewith. You say, where does that trouble come from? One thing it comes from is greed. Greed, covetousness. Those two are pretty much hand in hand, one and the same. People get covetous, and over all through the Bible, God warns his people about coveting. He warns us about that, you know. Well, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, okay? Well, what causes it? A lot of time, it's just that greed, that desire to get all you possibly can, and not just all, but everything you possibly can. Sometimes it's a desire to have more than somebody else, or to have more than you can use. I've often wondered, you've heard me make a statement, I don't know that I want a house 14 bedrooms. I don't see any reason for it. If you had 14 bedrooms, everybody would think they could come visiting. I don't think I'd want that, all right? Unless they had their own wing out there, you know. And my sister-in-law's here, and she's been staying with us. She said, are you talking to me? No, I'm not. Not at all. Hey, but yeah, you understand what I mean. We want stuff, and greedy people want stuff. They can't use it just for the sake of having it. Greed that comes there. And, man, you talk about causing you trouble. The Bible says it's better to have a little than to have great treasure and the trouble that comes with it. Trouble that comes with it. We have a desire to always get rich quick. Get rich quick. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Here we go. There's one thing about greed. Greed is never patient. Never patient. It's always in a hurry. Always in a hurry. Always moving, you know. Proverbs 28, if you will, and look at verse 20. Proverbs 28, verse 20, the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Not be innocent. People today, they play the lottery. Why? Well, I want to hit it rich. I want to get it rich. And man, you know, people dream about, and most of us have thought about, what would I do if I had all that money? You know, and I'll never forget one Sunday morning in Sunday school I was talking about, I said, you know, I had this X amount, I don't even remember now what the figure was. I said, I couldn't spend it all, so I don't know what to do with it. One guy said, give it to me. You know, so. Now, that's the way most of us, you know, feel along that line. And hey, but you got to be careful about that thing called greed. It's what causes people to fall for get-rich-quick schemes. It makes people easily fooled with scammers in our day. Always promising something. Man, we're going to give you something. You've hit it rich, you know. I love the ones, and I haven't heard of this one in a long time. It says, well, you've run X amount of money, and all you need to do is send in this amount, and we'll send you that money. And of course, I always said, deduct it from my check and send what's left, you know. And they never did that because it was a scam. But why do people go for that? Well, why do we believe something when it sounds better than true? Because there's a little bit of greed in people. Some people have a whole lot of greed in them, you know. I just want to have that. This is one thing, you know, I could have it, and I want to just have all I can, you know. And we don't want to wait on it. We say, I want it right now. Right now. That desire to have it right now overrides the thought of, well, I'll work and save to get it. No, I want it right now. Hey, there's a lot of young couples that get married and they want to have everything when they get married that their mom and dad have in the house they're leaving. But they don't stop to realize how long mom and dad worked to get what they have. It didn't fall on them, okay? They worked to get it. They saved. They did things, you know. I've told people before, my wife and I, when we first got married, we'd never bought anything if it wasn't on sale. We'd look at the sale papers every Sunday. They came out then. I don't think they do it like they did then, but we'd look at the sale papers every Sunday, and that determined what the menu was going to be in the next week. Whatever was on sale, that's what we were eating, all right? Well, that is what we would eat, and so no problem. You can tell we starved nearly to death, but God took care of it. We're all right, but we have that desire, hey, when you get that greed, it can destroy, it can bring trouble, and even destroy your family. Look back in chapter 15, would you? Look in chapter 15 of Proverbs, and look what the Bible says. Chapter 15, verse 27. Verse 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gift shall live. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Well, there's a lot of people. They destroy their own family because they lose sight of what's important. They lose sight of what is important. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's important to go to the Cowboy game. I'm not against the Cowboy game. But I don't think that's the important thing. Don't think that's the important thing at all. It's not the important thing that you have to have season tickets to whatever. Don't have to do that. Well, we say, would it be nice? Maybe so. But we lose track of things, and we that greed sets in. We're not careful. People spend money they really don't have and for things they really can't afford, and it causes them trouble in their house. Oftentimes splits marriages because one member of the family thinks this is important and so important. The other one says, wait a minute, all right? We got trouble, all right? Trouble, where does trouble come from? One place comes from greed. It comes from greed. Where else? Chapter 11. Now, we're going to name a few things, and maybe you'll say, preacher, we're safe. No problem there. I'm good. Good. I'm glad you're not, but I don't want you to get that way. You know, people can live their life pretty good, and then all of a sudden they get greedy. They get greedy, and it ruins them. Don't let that happen to you. Proverbs chapter 11, look if you will, verse 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. He that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. You know, preacher, man, I'm not cruel. Okay, cruelty can be displayed in a lot of different ways. Cruelty can be displayed in a lot of different ways. Our problem is when we think of cruelty, we think of, well, somebody's out there and abusing an animal. Something along that line, you know. Some are cruel, though, to those people that are different. A lot of people cruel to people that are different. Hey, sometimes, and just, you know, it can affect the church because somebody will come in that doesn't fit. Okay? Doesn't fit. Hey, listen, I believe God's people ought to look right, dress right, talk right, smell right, everything, okay? But when somebody comes in the back door, if I look up and see somebody that doesn't fit that pattern, I don't say, somebody get him or her out of here. Hey, we want them to come because we'll see what God can do for them, all right? What God can do for them. I've got an illustration, boy, that goes back years ago in the youth department. We had a young man came. I think somebody invited him, and he came to the youth department, and man, I'll tell you, he didn't fit in. He looked rough. He really looked rough. He, just be honest with you, he had that look of a thug about him. But the sad thing is, I'm the only one went and talked to him. All the rest of them looked like, what's he doing here? Well, he needs to be here, all right? See, y'all quit looking at Brother Mudd that way. He needs to be here, all right? Just want to put that in, all right? Hey, we get that way with people. We kind of think, well, they don't fit in. Yeah, hey, God can do great things to people. God changes people. I'm glad he does. Glad he does. Let's not have that cruelty idea. Hey, sometimes people are cruel to their parents who loved and sacrificed for them down through the years, and all of a sudden they get cruel to them, get very cruel and refer to them in terminology that shouldn't be used. Look, I don't believe you ought to call them the old man and the old lady, all right? I never worried about doing that to my dad. He wouldn't have let me. But you need to be careful, all right? You need to be careful. We need to be careful how we treat family members, all right? Some people are cruel because they have this crazy idea, if I can put somebody else down, it'll lift me up. Well, no, it won't. Doesn't do that at all. Well, it'll help me to look better in comparison. No, not going to change anything, you know. Can I just be honest with you? I don't understand people like that. I don't understand people that want to give somebody a hard time. I don't understand people that want to look down on other people. I keep going back to that old phrase, there but for the grace of God go I. Well, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that'd be me. That'd be me. God help us to not ever. Cruelty, by the way, it causes the individual. If you're cruel, you're going to have trouble. you're going to have trouble down the line, all right? You're going to have trouble. Still there in chapter 11, look at verse 27, would you? Verse 27, what is it that causes trouble? He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You know, the way we'd say it, we don't talk about, well, that person seeks mischief. You know what we say? We say, he's a troublemaker. She's a troublemaker. And there's people like that. It just seems like they everywhere they go, their one intention is to stir up something, to cause a problem, right? You say, well, I do it. Some people are just angry at life. And because they're so angry, they're seeking to always stir up strife. If they're not happy, they don't want you to be happy. They're not happy. They don't want you to be happy. And they're going to work for it to see if they can cause some trouble for your life, all right? On the other hand, there's some people do it for attention. Some people do it for attention. Maybe especially more so kids. Kids will do things for attention, just to get attention. If they'll do things, they'll stir up trouble, they'll take any kind of attention. Doesn't matter what kind of attention it is, as long as it's attention. And, I would say this to you, when you're dealing with children, look out for that kind of attitude. Don't be too quick. Don't be too quick to slap the wrong label on an individual. Give them an opportunity. Take them, take a look at them before you think that. Don't be too quick to just slap that label on them. God help us to not be a troublemaker, not be one that's seeking mischief, because if you do, all kinds of trouble can come to you, all right? I mean all kinds of trouble. It can come. The law can bring it. If you're that kind of a troublemaker, you'll get in trouble with the government. You'll get in trouble with police, all right? You'll get in trouble with the law. Not only that, you're a big enough troublemaker, irate and avenging friends or family are going to come at you, all right? You say, well, we don't live in the day of feuds. Don't bet on it, all right? There's still people that say, I want to get even with you, all right? I'll fix you, all right? Hey, you're a troublemaker. I just want to tell you something. You can lose your health. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your freedom. So you say, man, you need to be on top of this thing. What causes trouble? Well, hey, cruelty, greed. Troublemakers, the one that seeks mischief. But there's another thing, you talk about practical. The book of Proverbs is practical. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 is filled with trouble, all right? Look at verse 15. Verse 15 in chapter 11 of Proverbs. The Bible said, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. He that is surety for a stranger. So what we're talking about, well, what we might refer to is like co-signing for a loan. Co-signing for a loan. I just want to tell you, you want to get into trouble, you want to have problems, then go around co-signing for loans. You can get in all kinds of trouble. You say, well, it's my friend. Don't count on them being that long. You got to be careful, all right? You got to be careful. Now, I'm going to say this to you. It depends on your attitude when you go into it. All right? Depends on your attitude when you go into it. Hey, I don't think you're ever co-signed for a loan for anybody outside your family. But you need to be real careful about doing it with a person in your family. Because you can have trouble in a family, all right? You can have trouble in a family. I borrowed money from my uncle. Won't go into the details of it, but I borrowed money from him. But I guarantee you, I made sure every time the payment was due to pay, I paid it back, and I wound up paying it off early, all right? And he said, why? Because it was just as important me to pay him back as it is I pay back First National Bank. I don't think there is one anymore, but it's important to do it, all right? It's important that we do it. You want to get into trouble, you co-sign, all right? I'll say this to you, don't co-sign for anything that you can't make the payments for, okay? Don't co-sign for anything you can't make the payments for. You say, well, why not? Well, because when you do, all right, when you do, it can lead to problems for you, all right? And I'll be honest with you, you say, well, you don't care about it, man. No, remember I said it depends on the mindset when you go into it? You said, what should the mindset? The mindset should be, I may never see this again, and if I don't, so be it. So be it. If I loaned money to you, I'm going to loan it with the idea I may never see it again. If I don't, I'm never going to say a word about it. Now, don't come to me tonight asking for a loan after church, okay? Well, wait a minute. I think I got 20 bucks in my pocket. As long as it's not more than that, we're okay. No, you say, why? Well, I want you to understand, I don't want that to split my relationship with somebody. And I understand if I do it, I may never see it again. But that'll be fine. That's the end of it. I'm done. Okay? I'm done. Not going to worry about it. You say, well, you think bad thing. No. Hey, that's between them and God then. That's between them and God. Look, if you borrow from somebody, you ought to pay them back. You ought to pay them back. It ought to be done. All right? But you be careful about it because it can bring great trouble, all right? We're just talking about things that can cause trouble. Now, let's keep your hand right there in chapter 13 and then go to chapter 19, all right? Keep your hand there in chapter 13 and go to chapter 19. I want you to drop down there, if you will, to verse 16. Verse 16, get wisdom about trouble. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. Now back to chapter 13, if you would, all right? Chapter 13, look, if you will, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'll tell you this, you want trouble, you develop your bad attitude about God's word. You want real trouble. You develop a bad attitude about the word of God. Some people refuse it. Some people reject it, and they bring destruction upon themselves. Bring destruction upon themselves. I've seen people, you know, that get out there and they get bitter about something, and then they begin to talk about the word of God. All right. They begin maybe to run it down, all right? When you begin to do that, I just want to tell you, you reject this book, you wind up bound by sinful habits that can shatter your entire family. And it does. It does. It destroys people. Why? They've got a bad attitude toward the Word of God. If there's one thing you ought to have a good attitude, it ought to be a good attitude toward the Bible. When you scoff at it, when you belittle it, it opens you up for all sorts of trouble. All sorts of trouble. One is because a lot of people, when they belittle it and scoff at it, they wind up saying, I'll prove it wrong. Well, you just dug your own grave, all right? You dug a hole you're not going to get out of, all right? So you need to be careful. Don't have a bad attitude about the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, they preach it, and it always seems like it's talking to me. Well, then listen. Listen. Listen to the Word of God. It does. You say, well, it's always at me. Good. God's talking to you. Listen up. Don't get mad at God. And by the way, don't get mad at the messenger who brings you the message from God. Pay attention. Listen up. Get what God's saying to you, okay? Don't attack the Word of God. Don't get bitter about it. Don't refuse it. Don't reject it. Take it. Sometimes hard to take. Man, kids today don't know how easy they've got it. They do everything they can today to make medicine taste good. When I was a kid, no medicine tasted good. None. None. There was no medicine that felt good. There was no medicine. When I was a kid, man, you come in, you got to cut, scrape, get the methylate. Pour it on there, right? Or paint it. That's what they'd call it. We'll paint it with methylate. Well, it was hard to paint mine with methylate because I couldn't hold still, all right? I mean, I set on fire. Yeah, and there's no Neosporin in those days. And you can forget that, all right? We live in the easy time. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Sometimes the Word of God's hard, but it's good for you. I've said this, I don't know how many times to how many kids. I said, we'll doctor it, and it's going to hurt tomorrow. Because, and I said, but if I put methylate on, it burn like the dickens for just a little bit, but tomorrow it won't hurt. There's no more pain. It's gone, man. Methylate burned all the nerve in. No, I was kidding. Seemed like it did, right? Hey, listen, you be careful. Don't get a bad attitude toward the Word of God. Is there still in chapter 13? Look at chapter 13. Look down, if you would, to verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I'm not going to stay here very long, but wrong companions will cause you trouble. Wrong companions cause you trouble. Preachers have preached about it. Man, I know it's been preached to teenagers for years and years. You run with the wrong crowd, you'll have trouble. I just want to tell you this, when you get to be, you're no longer a teenager, you run with the wrong crowd, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. You just need to be careful about who your companions are. Need to be very careful. I've told people many times, I think it's good for you to be friendly, but you be careful who you're friends with. Now, you ought to be friendly, but be careful who you're friends with. Who you allow in to get real close to you, all right? You get the wrong companion, you will have trouble like nobody's business. Nobody's business. And by the way, I don't blame it on your companion. It's your fault because you chose to run with it. You chose to run. I could give you instance after instance of teenagers I've dealt with through the years did all right till they got running with the wrong people. We've had kids in school, they did all right till they got running with the wrong people. All right? You need to be careful about that. They can cause you trouble. Now, here's the one that maybe you really don't want to hear. Hold your place there in Proverbs, but go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter, way over at the end of the Bible, way at the end of the New Testament, that little epistle of 1 Peter. It's right after James, then you get 1 Peter. You get to 2 Peter, or 1 John, 3 John, Jude, or Revelation, you're going too far back up, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1. Here's the one that truthfully, I think oftentimes, brings trouble to God's people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. Did you lose your place there in Proverbs chapter 17? I want you to look at that verse, Proverbs 17, verse 3. The Bible said, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. The Lord trieth the hearts. Say, preacher, what are you saying? Sometimes God sends things our way. God sends things our way. The refining pot. Hey, if you're going to purify silver, you heat it. You have to run it through the fire. You heat it. The impurities rise to the top. You pull that off. You keep heating it, and the impurities rise to the top. You keep pulling off. Why? The heat. Trouble. Trouble. And sometimes God uses that, and God brings trouble to shape and to mold you. Whatever the trouble might be, all right, he can bring it upon you. He can allow it to happen. He can provide that trouble. Why? Because he's doing something in you. He's doing something in you. He's working on you, all right? It takes that effort to get you fixed, all right? We talk about rubbing off the rough spots. Hey, rubbing it off is not pleasant, painful. I'm going to tell you, Job understood that because he said this in Job 23, verse 10. He said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Sometimes the trouble we have, God sends it our way. Sometimes God sends it to us, okay? And sometimes the way he molds us and makes us is through trouble. Let's be honest. Success doesn't necessarily mold you. When everything is going your way, it doesn't necessarily strengthen and shape your life, your character. If you're involved in athletics, the coach will work you like a dog because he's trying to produce something in you. Okay? Trying to produce something in you. I've seen football teams especially. Back when I was in high school, you saw a lot of overly padded football players. I'd hate to use the word fat. It's discriminatory. You know, it hurts people. But they were just, hey, they were overly padded. They were big. And sometimes, you know, people in stands go, oh, man, he's got to go against that. Look at that guy. He's going. The little guy runs rings around the fat boy because he's in shape. Because he's in shape. All right? He's able to do that. And the coach puts you through those things to make you strong, to get you in shape. Never forget high school playoff game in Texas Stadium, the old Texas Stadium. And I was there watching, and there was a little fella. He was a defensive end. And I say little because compared to the guy he was across from. All right? Compared to the fella he was across from, you're going, man, it's going to be a tough day for him. Turned out to be a tough day for the big guy. Now, I want to say this. The big guy was not out of shape. He was not. The big guy had already had a scholarship. He was going to SMU to play college football. The little guy, as far as I know, never played another down after that championship season in high school. But that little guy was in the backfield with the quarterback as much as the running back on that team was. I mean, that quarterback was running for his life. And it was just over and over again. Why? Because it had been molded into him. All right? It had been put into him. Listen, God does things for us to put things in us, and sometimes he has to take us through the fire to do it. There has to be trouble to come in our life before it's going to pay off for us, okay? So don't just think all trouble is bad. It's not. There's a lot of causes. That's not all of them. So how do we avoid trouble? Well, number one, now this is wisdom. You're going to get ready to write it down. You want to avoid trouble, stay away from troublemakers. Stay away from troublemakers. Just don't have anything to do with them. Stay away from troublemakers. Hey, when I was a kid in school, I knew who the troublemakers were. I knew who the trouble was. In my house, I knew who the troublemaker was. Yeah, all right. No, you know who the troublemakers are in life. You knew who they are. Hey, there's people at your work, maybe, that you realize, I don't need to hang around that guy too much. I don't need to hang around that woman too much. Troublemaker. Troublemaker. So I need to be careful about it. I need to watch out. Hey, stay away from them, all right? And can I say this to you? Be careful in trying to reform the troublemaker that you don't bring trouble on yourself in trying to do it. Cause yourself, you know, sometimes you'll get the idea, well, I'll fix that person. You be careful about that. You talk about spending time in prayer. Yep, you'll spend a lot of time in prayer. You need to be careful. You need to be sure this is what God wants you to do, but you need to step carefully in the doing of it, all right? Because that person caused you all kinds of problems. Look, don't lose your place in Proverbs, but go with me to Romans. All right, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16. It's important we realize that if we're going to avoid trouble, that one of the easiest way to do it is stay away from troublemaker. Just don't have anything to do with the troublemaker. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, and talks to them about, hey, we're talking about spiritual troublemakers. He says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So where's that come from? Troublemaker. Troublemaker. You need to be careful about that. You need to be careful about the one that's always kind of hovering around finding fault. Always able to find the fault. Always able to say something negative. Always, you know, just never any, if there's any praise, that's always followed with but. Yeah. You be careful. You be careful of those folks, all right? Be very careful about them. Because, man, they can cause so much trouble. They cause so much trouble in churches. Churches get split because people start listening to other folks. You know, I would strongly urge you if, you know, I've heard of churches where somebody in the church would invite a bunch of church members over to their house. Hey, you be careful if you do it. You ought to always say, "Is the preacher invited?" Well, we don't want him here, okay? You need to be careful, all right? You need to be careful. You need to look out for troublemakers. It keep you out of trouble. You stay away from the troublemakers. You don't get in trouble as much, all right? Another thing, Proverbs chapter 21. And this one hits real close to home with me. I'm sure none of you have any problem with this. But Proverbs 21 verse 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles." Oh, hey. Whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Hey, you want to avoid trouble? Control your tongue. Control your tongue. Most everybody here has gotten in trouble because of what we said at some point in time. Sometimes it was not what you said. As my dad used to say, "Son, it ain't what you said, it's the way you said it." The way you said it. Hey, we get into trouble with our tongue, all right? We get into trouble with it. Maybe it's we're angry and we just speak. And we talked about that already in this series. When you're angry, one of the smartest things to do is shut your mouth, all right? Just keep your mouth shut. Get angry, and it causes us to say something that we wish we hadn't have said. All right, we get angry and we speak maybe hastily without thinking. And then we stop and think, "Oh man, that didn't sound good, did it?" Yeah, but it's already out, so you need to be careful, all right? Look, you want to avoid trouble, control that thing that sits in your mouth, all right? Get it under control. "Well, I can't control it." Put your lips together. Most of us aren't ventriloquists. Even the ventriloquist has to part their lips. Because if you don't, the sound doesn't come out very good, okay? Sound doesn't come out very good if you don't part the lip. That's why a lot of ventriloquists smile all the time. All right? By the way, you look out for that. No, I was kidding. You need to control it. So if you can't control it any other way, shut your mouth. Just close it, all right? Close it. Hey, you want to avoid trouble? Go to Proverbs 11. I told you Proverbs 11 had a lot to say about trouble, but it's also got something to say about how to fix it. Proverbs 11, verse 8. Well, what a truth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. Look in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Flip now over to chapter 19. Chapter 19, look down at verse 23, all right? You want to avoid trouble, okay? The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Hey, listen, godly living works wonders when it comes to trouble. You talk about avoiding it. It's amazing how much trouble you can avoid by just doing right. Just do right. Do what you should. I'm going to say it. You don't want to get a traffic ticket? Obey the traffic laws. Obey the traffic laws. I've always said this. If you're going to speed, don't get mad if you get pulled over and get a ticket. Don't take it out on the officer. He's doing his job. Don't get mad, all right? Don't do that. When you want to stay out of trouble, do what's right. If you'll be righteous, you'll be godly. You'll try your best to live a godly life. It's amazing how much trouble you can avoid. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I've never gotten a fight at a bar. Never. Never have. Never gotten a fight at a bar. Never been in a bar. That way you don't have to worry about getting a fight in a bar, okay? You don't have to worry about it. That's simply this one illustration. Do what's right. Do what's right. You don't have to get out of trouble because you won't be in it. Live right. Live the way God would have it. Well, preacher, what do we do when trouble comes? Look in Proverbs 14, all right? Look in Proverbs 14, would you, verse 19? Hang on in Proverbs. Go to Psalms 34. Can't even read my own notes, all right? Psalm, the 34th Psalm. 34th Psalm. And that's where we want verse 19, okay? The 34th Psalm, verse 19. Notice what the Bible says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hey, when you're dealing with trouble, I want you to realize this. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to have no problems. There is a certain segment of the world of Christianity that tries to preach and teach if you'll do everything right, you will have no problems. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Everything will go well. And I say something to you, that is not biblical. It's not biblical. You can have problems. It's problem. We live in a world with problems. Righteous people, godly people. Salvation doesn't mean you'll have no trouble. You ought to expect it. You ought to expect trouble. I can remember in earlier days of marriage, every time we'd be getting a little bit ahead and the bank account was just, you know, weren't sweating it so much and it was getting up there, then I'd begin to think, okay, what's going to happen now? Because something usually did. Somebody got sick, had to go to the hospital, you know, had to buy tires, transmission went out in our van. Those are wonderful days. All right? But I want you to notice, the Bible said the Lord deliver them out of all of them. The Lord will deliver. Expect problems, but can I say this? Don't invite them. Expect them, but don't invite them. You'll have enough problems along the way without inviting trouble into your life. But I'll tell you something else you need to do. Keep a right attitude when trouble comes. Keep a right attitude. I read it. Our attitude will affect our spiritual altitude. And it will. Keep the right attitude. Proverbs 15, look at verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Did you hear that? Continual feast. Hey, he that hath a merry heart, now I'm going to use terminology of world, I don't mean what the world means, but he that hath a merry heart, it's party time all the time, all right? Because he's enjoying himself. But you need to have the right attitude about trouble. And if you don't, and part of that attitude is, I know it's coming, I knew it was going to happen. And I told you back there in earlier in our married life, I started, well, wondering what's going to happen. Well, there it was, it happened, okay? But thank God we had the money to cover it. Thank God God got us through it. We survived it. It didn't, you know, wipe us out. But we didn't go around with our thumb in our mouth for 6 months either, okay? You need to have the right attitude in spite of difficulties. Because if you don't, it'll steal your rejoicing. But if you'll have the right attitude, you can still rejoice. Put your trust in God. One last place. Would you look in Habakkuk? Very easy book to find. The book of Habakkuk. All right. You said, where is it? Right after Nahum. You said, where is that? It's in the Old Testament. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. If you get to Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, you're going too far, okay? So Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. All right. Habakkuk chapter 3. Here's the testimony of Habakkuk. Notice what he said in verse 17. Verse 17 is negativity all the way. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What a positive thought. But you look at the next verse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19 carries it further. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Mine high places. All right. Hey, that's if we got to keep the right attitude about things. We got to keep the right attitude about it. You say, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You ain't going through the hard time. I've been through them. Now, I'll be honest with you. You can get down and put out and feel sorry for yourself and go through all of those things you want to, but it will not make the trouble go away. It'll make it seem worse. It'll make it seem longer. But learn to just trust God. Keep the right attitude. Lord, you got me in here. You'll get me out. Now, if you got yourself in there, you got yourself in there. Don't blame your troubles on God when you did it. Don't blame it on God when you did it. When you get yourself in there, you need to go to God and ask Him to help you get out. But you need to change your ways too, all right? Need to change your ways. You will get trouble, but don't let it get you. Don't let it get you. Don't let it ruin your life. Yep, you're going to go through some trouble. A lot of trouble we can avoid. But you cannot avoid all the trouble in life. But you can avoid a lot of trouble. So it's up to you. It's in your lap, all right? When it does come, check it out. Say, Lord, what are you trying to do to help me? What are you trying to do? Be honest about it. Look around. Are you there because of your actions? Are you there because of your sin? Then you need to meet with God and ask God to forgive you. All right? You need to deal with it. But if the Lord's taking you down that road to teach you, then pay attention and let Him teach you. Let Him mold your life. Let Him mold that, make you what He wants you to be. Don't fight Him. Don't develop a bad attitude about the Word of God because it tells you the truth. All right? Like I said, you may get trouble, but don't let trouble get you. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Lord, as we've studied and opened the Word of God and looked at this thing a little bit about trouble, Lord, there's a lot of things.